It's good. Guys, there's 3 points tonight's sermon, and I need you to know them. They're this. My baby, my wife, and my cow. It was good. I loved all of the commercials. They were awesome. They're hilarious. You guys did good work. Way to put those together. But today's good. Today's been a lot of fun. I've loved running around with you guys today. First blood was finally drawn for me, which is good. And I'm not talking about Rambo, but I am happy. I can leave this retreat content because I've bled while I've been here. And that's good for me. Somebody during soccer today, like I'm in there for like 20 minutes, but somebody got me. So that was good. Whoever it was, I don't even know. Thank you. I'm satisfied now. My personal record is sending someone to get stitches in the first like 4 hours of a retreat on a Friday night. So we'll have to work on that a little bit, but you know, maybe at a winter retreat or something like that. There was ice involved, so it's good. Tonight, I hope to really challenge your worldview in a couple different ways. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. We're going to start off, though, in that I'm going to ask a few questions. These are one of those things where I'm going to ask you to respond and give me answers back so that I'm not just talking and then you're staring awkwardly at me. Can you guys do that?
Yes.
Sweet. What do you see? What do you see? Pretty good. All right, so what just happened? When the lights went off, what did you see? What do you see now? What else? There's no more light in here now than there was when the lights went out. Why do you see something different? Explain this process to me. Like, I know it's pretty simple. All of us get it. Because I can see your hands if you do it, but someone that can explain this process of what just happened inside of us, share with us. Over here on the right hand, your left, left hand side, halfway back. Yep.
Your pupils will dilate so that they take in more light or less light depending upon how bright it is, so that you can see better in the dark.
You guys agree with him? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. That was pretty simple, right? Isn't it amazing how the exact same thing, the exact same amount of light, we can see things that are completely different. Right now, we could do pretty much anything that we needed to in here. We could operate fully and completely. We can function, right? I am amazed at how quickly we can go through that process. Like, our bodies are amazing in that way, and tonight's talk isn't anything about how amazing our bodies are, but like, it truly is awe-inspiring at how quickly we adjust and we get to a point where we're comfortable with our new surroundings, right? There's a story in Exodus chapter 34. It's in verses 39 or 29 through 35. It's a story about Moses. Moses has been on the mountain. He's been with God, face to his backside as he went by, because you can't handle God's face. As Moses comes down, he delivers the tablets, the commands. He brings them to the people, but he doesn't know that his face is now radiating with God's glory that is being reflected in him, because Moses has encountered God in a way that no one has. Moses has encountered God. And because he has encountered God personally, intimately, deeply, his face is physically different. It's not just an interior thing that is different about him. He is physically different than when he went up onto the mountain 40 days ago. Moses comes down and the people are afraid to look at him because he is that different. They don't want even to see what he looks like. It strikes fear into them. Moses, from that day on, wears a veil to cover up the radiance, the glory of God that is shining from his face because he has seen and now reflects God. The only time the veil comes off is when Moses enters into the tabernacle and he comes into God's presence. He comes into the tent and he meets with God. Then he takes the veil off. Outside of that, they are fearful because of how he has been changed because of his encounter with God. We can catch the lights again. Somebody that kind of is sitting over there by them, if you guys would, I tried to warn us. I wasn't ready for it either. In fact, if you guys want, let's catch like one of the back rows. Can we do that too? I like to be able to see like back to you guys. And I realized last night when I was talking, I was like, I'm looking at the first two rows because I couldn't see anybody else back there. But I like to be able to see you guys as we talk through this. There is another story in the Bible. In fact, there's multiple, but there's another one that really sticks out to us where we see a very stark contrast in someone. They encounter God and they are different in every single way in their lives. In fact, there's a physical change that happens to them after they've encountered God. In Acts chapter 9, maybe you guys are familiar with this story, there's this guy named Saul. And Saul is a bad dude, right? Yeah, Saul is a bad dude. He is an angry man. But he's doing this out of, well, he's not an angry man. He's trying to fear God. He's trying to honor God in what he thinks God is calling him to do. Finally, as Saul is headed down this road to Damascus, he's going there to persecute Christians and believers, and he encounters God. God literally shines in his brightness. His glory shines down upon Saul so much that the people around him like shudder in fear, and that Saul literally goes blind. Not just like one of those, the sun, and now you can't see and there's like red spots. No, he literally goes blind. For 3 days, he is blind. He goes into the city of Damascus. People have to lead him there. When he gets there, what does he do? Like, we don't know exactly what all goes on during those days, but we know that God comes and he talks not to Saul. He comes and talks to this man, Ananias, and Ananias is to go to Saul, right? He's supposed to proclaim God's word to him. He's supposed to announce the changing of him, that he is now God's. He is his chosen person. And what happens is that Ananias comes to him. He baptizes him. He touches him. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. And it says that things like scales, literally, not like, imagine this in your mind, okay? Literally, things like scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see again. He encountered God and he was changed in a way that he now could see what he could not see before. Tonight, I want us to talk about darkness and light. It's pretty simple. You guys might have figured that out already, right? I want us to understand that what we see and how we perceive the world around us drastically changes every aspect of our lives. It intertwines all of our very being so that it's not just like I see this color. It's not just the reflection of the light through the spectrum in order to get the certain color that is actually appearing to you, right? White gave us a good lesson on that earlier tonight. Yeah, Color Master Vlad, you're the man, right? Something like that. So we actually see things. And what we see changes deeply who we actually are, because what we see is what we perceive, and it's what we begin to slowly over time believe. Just like our eyes dilate, the pupils dilate. Brian, was that you who was telling us there? All right, thanks, man. So just like Brian was telling us, our pupils dilate and we begin to take in more light. And just as that process happens, and we can now become comfortable with the things around us that we weren't comfortable with as soon as those lights went out. This is not just a physical process, though. I want you guys to know that this is a deeply, deeply spiritual thing, that we have spiritual eyes to see the world around us. And when we see this world around us, it deeply affects who we are and how we interact with God, his creation, and his beings that he has created us to be with. Tonight, Ben said it well, that there's some business to be done. There's some business to be done tonight. And in fact, there's business, I think, in a lot of our lives. There's business in my life to be done. But we need a reorientation of our lives and how we see things. Tonight, I want us to understand that we walk currently today in darkness. All of us. Not one of us is exempt from that because we live in this flesh. And when we're born into this world, we're born into sin. We don't someday when we get older choose like, I think I'm going to start sinning because I'm of an age of accountability. We are born into a place where we will die because we have sin inherently within us. The sin of Adam is passed down to us and we will feel the effects of the fallen world. That is that we will die like all men. So we're born into the physical flesh and our physical flesh sees the world and perceives it through the eyes of darkness. That darkness is there and that's how we perceive the world. In fact, that darkness though, just like it did tonight, quickly becomes quite comfortable, doesn't it? The darkness that we walk in really isn't all that dark to us because I can function and do absolutely everything that I need to, and it's easy to walk around my day every single day and not realize how dark the darkness that I walk in really is. Tonight, we need to have a reorientation. When we have encountered God, we must choose which way we will begin to see the world around us. This is a tough thing because the Bible's pretty clear about things. It doesn't leave a whole lot of middle ground in our lives, which really isn't what we're going for. Most of us want the middle ground. It's a lot easier that way. But it doesn't leave us a whole lot of middle ground. In fact, it says it pretty clearly that we must choose one way or another. Jesus says very, very, very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This is hard for us to comprehend and to see in our eyes of the flesh because we live in a world that is absolutely relative in everything that it is, right? That's another yes or yes question. Yeah, we live in that kind of a world. When we live in that kind of a world, our eyes become acclimated to the darkness. That darkness becomes comfortable, and we begin to live in the darkness, and that affects what we see. Tonight, we need to change that. I was in the back as we were worshiping tonight, and I want to get some of this cleared out of the way first so that my mind can focus on what I'm actually trying to say. Guys, I want to thank you guys. You've been speaking into my life while we've been here, and I really appreciate that, all of you who have done that. God's been speaking a couple things into my life that I needed to hear. There's some business to be done, right? And this is what it needed to be in my life. And that is this, that when we came in here, it was really clear for me, like, I'm a simple man, right? Like, I have no position to be able to speak here to you, and I don't. Except that Christ has called me to do that. Why am I here? Why am I the person that's here this weekend to speak to you? It's not because of any accolade that I have, because I don't. I'm here to speak to you for a very specific reason, though, and that's because God has called me to be a messenger to you. And if God has called us to be a messenger to someone, then he is the one that is there to speak, not us. And if I am here and proclaiming that how weak I am and how I have no position, what I'm actually doing is stripping the authority of God and saying he has no position to come and speak to you. But he has every position to speak to you this weekend. So I need to get that business clear, right? Like, I am weak, but his spirit is strong in me. And it's not because of any power that I have or any eloquent words, clearly not eloquent words, right? It's not because of any of that I have authority to speak to you, but I have authority to speak to you because God has called me as his servant to be a messenger of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, there's authority to speak. That's why God has called me here. And I don't know what that means for all of you, but I know what it means for me. I know what it's spoken into my life. And I, like all of you, this weekend and this night, have a decision to make. Which will I walk in? The darkness that Satan says, you have no authority, you have no power, you are weak. You should not be here. You don't deserve it because it's of my works. It's that you have nothing of value to bring, will that be what I walk in? Or will I choose to walk in the light that says Christ is in you? And if you are in Christ, then you have all the authority of his spirit. I love in Colossians where it says that in chapter 1, verses 16, 17, something like that, maybe 18, it says that God was pleased to have the fullness of his Spirit, dwell in Christ. And then it goes on in I think verse 26, and it says, and that he, so back in 18, it says, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. And then it goes on in verse 26, it says that the mystery of God has been revealed to us, because through all of creation, God has been hidden, and he has been unseen. He's been veiled, just like Moses' face. People couldn't see because they had scales on their eyes. But he says, it's been revealed to you in the person of Christ, and that the fullness of God, he is the image of God. And that if he is in us, then his Spirit, he is pleased to have his Spirit reside in you. That means the fullness of God is dwelling in you. And if you have the fullness of God dwelling in you, but yet you choose to walk in the darkness, what are you saying about the fullness of God? What are you saying about his image that is placed upon you? Tonight, I want you guys to have a reorientation of your life to understand that if God dwells in you, you are called to walk in his light, in his truth, in his power. That was the business that I had tonight, okay? Now I'm going to try to figure out where we were at, somewhere in here. But that needed to get cleared off from me first. Okay. We're going to spend a little bit of time. I want this to be revealed to us, to be very clear, the darkness that we walk in. When we walk in darkness, and when we see this world around us, it does affect us. It changes how we see the world, right? That's a pretty simple thing, because most of us can understand, like, we see sin in our lives, and we hear about people that are murdering other people and all these things going on, and it's like, man, that's bad. I feel really bad. Okay, what's the next thing in my day? Like, we become so numb so quickly, and our hearts don't break where God's heart breaks. That means that we are comfortable with the darkness. We've become acclimated to it. But God calls us not to be in that place. He calls us to recognize that there is truth in his word, and that is the only foundation of truth. Now, that's hard for some of us to think, because we can say, well, there's truth in a lot of other places. Like, I go to school and I study, and that's where truth is too. There are true things there, but they're only true because they've been revealed by God through his creation, through his Spirit, and through his word. They've been created by him. And so that's why it's true. It's because it is of him that it is true. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I mean, he goes on and talks how Christ comes into the world. He is the revelation of his word. His word is truth. God and his Spirit are true in our lives. Anything else that we have has to go through that filter. We have to allow our eyes to see and process it through that filter. Is this true of God, or is this true of the darkness? There's a lot of ways that this happens in our lives, though, and it's not easy for us to do. I'm going to back up to this idea of, we want to find, like, the, okay, I want to believe in God and know that I walk in his truth, but at the same time, I want to kind of skirt this middle where it's comfortable, where I can make sense of the things that are hard for me to accept from God's word. I was recently, well, like a year and a half ago, I was visiting with one of my friends, and we were talking. We're on his farm, and we were just trying to spend some time with him, but he has to keep working. So I'm like, dude, I'm just going to ride across the field in the tractor with you. And they've got GPS. Yeah, we're talking about cows and fields again. I know. Yep. Yeah, not actually cows. He just has a crop farm. But so we're driving across the field, and it's so easy for us because now everything's GPS, and all he has to do is put it in a line and then wait till it gets to the other end of the field and turn around and put it in a line again. But as we're talking, he was one of my roommates from college. His name's Nathan. I had an awesome year that year. Our IM basketball team was pretty good. We had a guy that Nathan was 6'4". Well, there was me, and then there was Johan, who's 6'5", and Joel, who's 6'6", and two of them could dunk. And I was like, this is easy. But anyway, so Nathan was one of my roommates in college, and we're out going across the field in his farm, and he's telling me about his church that he's come back and he's gotten plugged into and he's involved in. There's not a lot of people that are volunteering, so he was one of the guys like, I guess I'll raise my hand. And when he raised his hands, he got signed up for like 8 things, and he's leading the youth group and helping with their Sunday morning classes, and now he's a deacon at the church. And he's like, I shouldn't have raised my hand. Learn your lesson once, right? Not that you guys shouldn't volunteer. You should. And so Nathan was telling me, though, that they're congregation was going to be leaving their denomination, and they're going through this really hard decision. And part of the reasons was because they felt like the denomination was going away from the actual truth of Scripture. And they had made a decision that they weren't going to do that. They were going to recognize this is what God says and we have to stand for this. So he said, as they were going through this process, they had one of the bishops of the denomination that they were going to be leaving. It came and he spoke with them and he tried to explain why they were okay with some of the decisions they were making about Scripture. And he said, well, there's something in Scripture called bound consciousness. I was like, man, I've never heard of that. Like, I don't know what bound consciousness is. And this is how they explained it. That if your conscience is bound by something, then it is a sin. And if your conscience is not bound by it, then it is not a sin. Because the Spirit works in your conscience, and so the Spirit is telling you what is right and what's actually wrong. I was like, wow. Man, Satan is good, isn't he? Like, that's so simple. Like, okay, so God, your Spirit is in these people. And so if your Spirit convicts them that it's wrong, then it's wrong. But if your Spirit doesn't convict them, then your Spirit must, which is a representation, it is you, yourself, then it's not actually wrong. And how crafty is Satan when he allows us to believe, when he tricks us, manipulates us into believing these kind of things. There is no middle ground. When we pick and choose out of Scripture what we want to believe, this is called liberalism. It is a dead end that leads you away from God. When you pick and choose out of Scripture what you want to believe, it is a dead end that leads you away from God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's other ways that when we encounter God, we must make a decision. We have to choose. We can either choose to pick and choose what we want to believe, or we can choose to simply ignore it. And I think this is what happens in a lot of Christians and churches today, is that we say, I simply choose to ignore this. This is what I try to do with my age. Like, I don't know why, but my body's sore today. I'm not that old. I'm trying to ignore the fact that I'm sore. But just because I'm trying to ignore it doesn't change the fact that I actually am getting older and am sore after not doing that much yesterday. It doesn't change the fact that it's still true. If we choose to ignore God's word, it doesn't change the fact that it's still true. And we will have to be accountable for the truth someday. Ignoring it doesn't make it untrue. Another thing that we can do is that we can choose to simply look away. Let me back up. Sorry, my words are getting ahead of my mind right here. When we look at Scripture, when we encounter God, we need to be able to say, this is truth. This is what God's Spirit is calling us to do, to recognize that he is the truth and to walk in it. This is not easy for us to do. We want to pick and choose. We want to ignore it. But this is truth. But I want you to think about this in a different way, that it's not about us choosing what is truth, because God has made it clear. Instead of choosing what is truth, it's about us choosing what to do with it. And so tonight, I want to ask you guys to choose what to do with it, to either reject it and walk the other way, to walk in the darkness and at least admit and know that you're doing it, or to choose to walk in the light and to follow after what God desires for you. We need new eyes to see. Our eyes have been veiled. Our eyes have scales on them, and we need to be able to see them. Most of us probably consider ourselves fairly or at least pretty intelligent, right? I mean, you are college students. Most of us are. Some of us are holding on to the college years, right? Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's the college life without classes and homework, I mean, right? Okay, a few other things in there is too. But most of us consider ourselves to be pretty discerning. We know how to tell the truth from a lie. We understand what that is. But Paul understands how deceptive Satan is. He knows how crafty he is. And this is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says that we need to take most of our thoughts captive in order to make them obedient to... Wait, that's not what he says, right? He says we are to take every thought captive. every single thought that enters our mind, we need to make it obedient to Christ. C.S. Lewis, he wrote this book. He wrote a lot of books, actually. Maybe you guys have heard of him. He's one of the great theologians of all time. C.S. Lewis wrote this trilogy, and the second book in it is called the Perlanda. Has anybody heard of this, read it? Okay, a few people are. I'm just starting it, so maybe you can tell more about this than what I actually can. But what I'm gathering thus far and what I've been told about the book is, and this is kind of the short Cliff Notes, not even good Cliff Notes version of it, but is that in this book, it's about this different world, this trilogy, it's about a different world, and this person who goes and visits this world, and they become an observer of it. And in this world, there's a mainland, but then there's also floating islands. Am I okay here? Those of you who have read it, like, okay, good. I'm just getting started. So there's floating islands in here. And what God commands these two people who are on here is that they can live on these floating islands, but they can't stay the night. They can't actually be on the mainland. And so this book, Perlanda, is the story, and the majority of it focuses on Satan and his deceptiveness. It begins with this woman who is absolutely devoted, sees no reason she would ever even desire to disobey God. Why would I ever want to? But slowly, 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 Satan begins to work in her life and tell her different lies till eventually she desires to turn away from God. Now, don't tell me the rest of it because I don't want the spoiler alert or anything like that, okay? And maybe somebody else will give you the best. But really, as it's been described to me, and I'm hoping to find out as I read through it, is further how deceptive Satan really is. He does small and unnoticed things in our lives, just like those pupils dilating. You don't even notice that they're actually dilating and letting more light in when you're in the darkness. It just naturally happens. And this is what Satan does with us as well. But we, because of this, have lost the basis of which we judge truth. We have lost where that line actually is. And I want to tell you tonight that the line is here. It is in his word. But Satan will do whatever he can to dilute or distract or deceive. But I want you guys to know that just because it's void of bad things doesn't mean it's actually good. Because one of Satan's greatest tools is not for us to realize that something's bad, but rather to think that something is good. If we think it's good, then it must be of God. But just because it's not evil doesn't mean that it aligns fully with God. In fact, that may be one of the most dangerous lies that we can believe. I want you guys to watch this video. It's probably one that many of you have seen before. And if you've seen it before, just kind of work with it. But I want to ask you a few questions about it afterwards. You'll probably recognize who it's about. But I want you to put on new lenses tonight. What was he actually saying? What'd you guys think? He talked about three different things. He said that we need to work hard to be sexy. I think all the people who were screaming when he said be sexy, like, didn't see that coming. And then after he said it, they're like, oh, no, I thought I was sexy. Like, yeah. yeah. He says work hard, be sexy, and live your life. Build your life. Right? So what's he actually saying there? What did you guys think? Yeah, say it a little bit louder so everybody can hear.
It's all about you.
How so?
You build it. You do everything.
Yeah. Life is ultimately about you. Please yourself. Build the life that you want. That's what he was saying, right? Man, Satan is so good. He's so good because when I first heard that, Spoonerisms, they're fun. When I first heard that, I was like, man, Ashton, you just nailed it, dude. Like, Chris, way to go. I didn't even see that coming. Like, no one expects that when he walks up on that stage that night. And the first time you hear it, you're like, yeah, preach it. And then I slowed down and I put on God's eyes. And I'm not here to bash Ashton. I'm not here to say that he's, like, doing Satan's work, even though I'm not super excited about a lot of the stuff that he does. I'm not saying he's a pawn of the devil. But I do want us to recognize how God sees things, not our world, because Satan is so crafty. He makes them sound so good and enticing. But what he actually is saying in this is that if you build your own life and live for yourself and make it about you, that's where the value of life actually lies. Build your own life. God's word says that when we live in Christ and we surrender to him, when we make him the Lord of our life and we pursue his pleasure and he becomes the treasure of our lives, that's where the value of our life lies. Man, that's a close line, isn't it? But yet they're so far apart, but it sounds good. What's the other thing he says? He says, be sexy. He says, being sexy is being thoughtful, smart, and generous. And he says something in there that's pretty intriguing to me. He says, everything else is crap. Really? Those are good things. I mean, being smart is good. You guys are all smart, I think. You guys are all thoughtful, and I hope that you guys in your life will be generous. In fact, some of those are even godly characteristics. But unless we're doing them in the perspective of God and living under his headship and pursuing him, not those things, what's actually crap? All of these things that will leave me empty at the end of the day, realizing that there's something more, because I just tried to fill myself with being sexy, but instead I only feel empty. What's the thing he says before that, though? The very first thing, he says that hard work looks a lot like opportunity, and I'm not going to dispute that. It does, and I want you guys to work hard. I want you to have a good discipline in your life to be able to work diligently in what God puts in front of you. But the value of your life is not based on the work that you do. The value of your life is not based on how hard you work. The value of your life is based on the fact that Christ has died for you. He has put his seal of salvation upon you in his Holy Spirit, and God sees him, not you. The value of your life is that God sees Christ over you. That's where the approval and value of your life lies, not in how hard you work, because that takes it back to me, and I'm focusing on me and what I do. Man, Satan is so, so good. He is so, so deceptive. He dilutes just a little bit, and yet we go hook, line, and sinker after it. Guys, I want you tonight to become discerning, not in the way of that I'm really thoughtful and I can pick apart what's a truth and a lie based on what I see around me and what my vision tells me. I want you to be discerning by God's word and his Spirit. These are the things that will bring us fulfillment and joy in life. No matter how good something sounds, if it is not based on the saving grace of Jesus Christ, it will lead you astray from him. Unless it is based in that truth, in that light, it will lead you away from him. It's a dead-end thing. So this is what the natural thing for us as Christians to do at this point is to realize, okay, I need to put on God's eyes. And so what that means for me is that I need to go through my life and purify myself of all the bad things that are leading me into darkness. So I've got to go through my movies and get rid of all the bad movies. And I got to go through my iPod and my computer and get rid of all the bad music that I wouldn't be real proud of. And maybe any magazines that, yeah, I probably shouldn't see. Okay, I got to get rid of those. And if I have any clothes that are too revealing, I'm going to get rid of those things too. And all of those things are good things, but all of those things say it's dependent upon what you do in order to make God approve of you. And I want you to know it's not based on what you do to make God approve of you. It's based on resting in the truth in the grace of God. It's about him cleansing us and changing our vision rather than us cleansing us and changing our vision. Many of us have those scales over our eyes tonight, and we have believed the simple, so close lies of Satan. We believe things like my salvation depends on the good things I do. I prayed a prayer one time years ago, and I haven't really thought about God ever since, but hey, that was good, so I guess I'm in, and I can do whatever I want with my life. The more money I give, the more God is happy with me. Like, that one's easy, right? That's not what it's about. All religions lead to the same God. Man, God's truth says something different. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that God won't actually send people who plainly reject him to hell. He's a God of love, so everyone will get in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The Bible is very clear. In fact, it's explicit that Jesus is the only way for us to gain eternal life. And for us, we need to make a decision in our lives. Will I walk in darkness, or will I change my mind? Will I begin to walk in the truth of Christ and Him alone? We're going to sing a few more songs tonight just to close in worship. And the worship team, if you guys want to come up, you can come up. I just want to close with this. When you encounter God, like Moses, he met him. It changed him. When you encounter God like Saul, everything was different. When you've encountered Jesus in this way, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. You cannot ignore it and think that that changes the truth. You cannot choose which truth you'll take and which one you'll leave. You have to make a decision. You can either accept it and follow it alone, or you can pick and choose, which will lead you away from God into a dead end. Maybe in your life you have done some of the things and you have fallen for some of the things that are not of God. This morning, we did a pretty simple exercise. It was about asking God, God, teach me what you want me to pray, right? God, teach me by your Spirit. Tonight, this is my prayer for you. God, teach us. Teach us to walk in your truth. God, show me what your truth is. Reveal, take the scales off from my eyes and teach me to walk in the light. Will you guys stand and worship with us?